Hello and welcome to another episode of the Permaculture Podcast with Scott Mann. Today's episode gets us one step closer to completing our look at David Holmgren's 12 principles of permaculture individually. Today, we're going to look at principle 10, use and value diversity. This principle is a reminder that we don't want to monocrop our landscape or community. We don't want to focus on any one particular piece of the design as the only thing that we want to try to support, that we want to include a variety within our system so that we can build resilience and bring about stability. There's the discussion in some of the earlier principles that we want to work on building the number of beneficial relationships between the elements that are included within a design. And in doing so, as we increase the number of pieces that are included by type, not just in number, each one of them has their own particular benefits that they provide to the system, which allows us even more connections. There's a diagram I saw of this once. We'll see about putting a copy of this up in the show notes. But it was a pair of dots representing two elements. And you can draw one line between them, so there's one connection. But if you have three dots, you have three connections. But if you add a fourth element, the number of connections increases to five. And then if you add a fifth element, the number of connections goes up to nine. And that number continues to grow very rapidly, even though the number of elements within the system are small. And those connections, when you see them visually, represent that web of interconnection between everything we include. And I look at that and I think, okay, well now if I remove one of these connections, there's still a lot of diversity with how they're all interrelated. And even if one of the elements within the system should fail, it only removes so many connections. And how that visual exercise on paper relates to the actual real-world system, because each of the pieces that we include have their connections to the other pieces of the system. But then as we start looking at the yields from each of those items, that number of connections grows and grows and grows very rapidly because there may be multiple connections between any pair of elements. An example of this that comes to mind is the blueberries, as I often mention. As they become larger, they'll provide habitat for birds. So that's one connection between the blueberry plant and a particular bird. Well, then, if that bird is a fruit eater and eats the fruit of the blueberry, that blueberry bush also provides food for that bird. Then that bird, as it digests that berry, will deposit those seeds, so it spreads the material from that blueberry far and wide. Well, that's a connection back then from the bird to the blueberry itself. But if that bird scares off pests, or shakes them loose, or potentially eats them, that's another connection back from that bird to the blueberry in a way that they support one another. It increases how the two of them are connected. And that's a fairly simple system, just the blueberry bush and a bird. But we have a number of connections that come from it. And even our most simple systems, when we first observe them from the outside, may appear very, very basic. But as you investigate it further, you find that regardless of how elementary it is, how stripped down it may appear, that there are numerous things going on to provide all of the functions necessary for it to exist. And here on the East Coast of the United States, with the temperate forests that we have, there are some places that you can wander where the tree canopy is so heavy that there's next to no vegetation on the forest floor, and there are only a few top-level canopy trees. And then that's all we may be able to see and first observe, which would lead to the conclusion that this is not a very diverse system. If you put that soil under a microscope, you'll see bacteria and fungal mycelium and nematodes. Moving up from there, your small forest mammals, such as mice or chipmunks or squirrels. And you have your larger animals, which around here include raccoons and opossums. We also have bear here and deer, though you may wander for many miles without seeing them. They're here, and they're a part of all this. And then, of course, the birds of all shapes and sizes. And they all contribute to the health and function of what on first glance looks like so much less. And that's a reminder for us as we work on a design to place within it as much as we functionally feel comfortable that can support to expand on that web of life. When I think of the value of our diversity in our landscape design and in our natural use, that diversity is to protect our system from the possible vectors that we've identified, and so that if something expected or unexpected comes along and damages a part of the system, it's still able to recover, that we may suffer some loss, but we don't suffer a total loss. And in many ways, it's possible for the various components to protect one another. from these possible problems with our beneficial insects taking care of predators, or like in my yard, there's a place where I have brambles growing in order to form a natural fence, because the stream behind my home is one used by fishermen. They have a tendency when they come to just walk across the yard to get to the stream. As I know they're going to be doing it anyway, I provide them a path that they can readily use, but then protect the rest of the land with natural borders, so they're less likely to step on something delicate or rub against something and damage it. And that natural border of brambles also helps protect the rest of the yard from flooding because of its location along the eastern border of the property, which is where water inundates as the stream rises. As it comes in there, those brambles are a first line to help keep debris out of the rest of the yard and help minimize the damage from boards and branches and logs by acting as a natural trap for them. We also have our companion plantings with flowers or garlic to help keep away predators or confuse them so that they can't find a particular plant. And if we weren't creating a diverse environment, we wouldn't have these possible protections. And that's where I find a lot of value in our diversity. As you look around at your landscape, can you think of anything that you could introduce that would have value to you and increase the diversity of your system, make it more stable, more productive, more supported? That's your first homework assignment for this principle. Use and value diversity by finding something that you could add to your system that would fulfill this principle and go on to benefit you and the other pieces of what's around you, whatever that may be. Just think about it. Find something. When you do, include it. I want to take this principle and look at community and how we can move away from the landscape and how this principle can be applied to other things. But before I do so, I'd like to ask you to take a few minutes and stop by the website at thepermaculturepodcast.com and click the donate button on the right-hand side. That'll take you to a PayPal donation form. If that's something you're not comfortable about, you can contact me directly about how you could contribute something to the show. If you'd like to do that, the address is show@thepermaculturepodcast.com. If you're not able to make a donation at this time for whatever reason, but you'd like to send a word of encouragement, or just a, hey, how are you doing? I always appreciate those too. So send me an email, or if you want to take that step and share your lovely voice with me, you can call and leave a voicemail for me at my office. That number is 717-798-8100. Now I'll get you back to the show. Principle 10, when it comes to our interaction with people and community, is a reminder that if we always seek out the same types of people in our lives, in many ways we'll wind up with the same results, and nothing new or different will come about unless we take action to do so. And this thought comes about because of some folks who I spend a good bit of time with. We spend an evening a week together playing games and just generally enjoying our time together as friends, but we noticed that for the longest time, there was just a handful of us. And when we were together, we would wind up doing the same kinds of things over and over again and do them in the same way. And it had reached the point that when, even as the games changed, we were all kind of in our own little roles in the way that we did things. Some of us were more aggressive in our gameplay than others. Others were more relaxed. Some were moderate and whatnot. But we all knew each other well enough that our ability as players was no longer really improving. We had found this very comfortable place. We enjoyed the games just the same. But it didn't challenge us to get any better. And recently we invited some new folks in to join us, and it's really livened up our gameplay. We all have to think a lot differently and interact a lot differently when we make it to the tabletop, and we start rolling those dice and deciding what we're going to do. Now, me and the stable of old hands can't rely on our old roles anymore, and it forces us to move into new modes of thought. I look at that and I think about our community and our need to make use of and value everything that's available to us. This also goes back to the idea of integrate rather than segregate, of including different people and different backgrounds in our lives and the things that we're doing, because that difference in age and gender, different occupations, different ethnicities, and cultural backgrounds, just to name a few, brings such a broad range of dynamic options and possibilities that we might not be able to come to otherwise. I was reminiscing about this with my friend Erin, who I'd gone through my PDC with a while back, and she and I were talking about this, and how the mix of people who were part of our permaculture design course really added to the educational experience that we got out of it and the information that was at hand. Ben and Dylan did a great job teaching this material to us, but the further we got into that class, the more they learned from us, which then allowed them in turn to teach more, and the stories that the different individuals told and their backgrounds and what brought them to the class and what they were going to do with it when they were done, what they were going to take it back to, made our experience that much more fulfilling. But when it came time to present our final designs, all of them were different. And it was interesting to go from my group, which presented first, through to the last group. And it was like our design started all the way on the left of possibilities and our presentation the same way. But then as you went through, the presentations just marched us down this line of thoughts and ideas and simplicity to complexity. The amount of technology or the lack thereof, both in the presentations and in the final designs, the difference between a design that was very heavy on land use, another design that was very heavy on the community aspects, another design was more interested in the way knowledge could be transmitted within the design. And watching that ebb and flow between those designs allowed me to discover so much more than I could have if it was myself and 11 other people who were all from the same background, from the same set of ideas. Less broadly from the class, it's the same with my design team. When we came to that final design, I had stepped into that last project with a clear set of ideas of what I thought was possible. And those other three people, from their insights and inputs, magnified my potential tenfold. And as we move forward, that expansion of self and that breadth of what can come by including people from all walks of life, just in that class, but more so as we look at our community and everything that people have to give, can be very empowering, not just to ourselves, but to others. And this principle combined with principle 8, to integrate rather than segregate, and also principle 11, use edges and value the marginal, are the principles that I look to for bringing about the social change that's going to be necessary to constructively prepare for a changing world and the issues that can come with increased energy costs and the end of cheap fossil fuels. It makes me want to write this principle down at the top of a piece of paper and detail underneath of it all the ways that simple thought can be used to reform our community and mail it off to all of our elected officials and civic leaders and see if it might make a difference in their world of politics and the way that it might be reflected in the community that I live in. But there are a few more of my hopes and dreams from permaculture. But I'll leave you with that. Just the possibilities that can come from a handful of simple principles if we use them and apply them to the work that we do. So the second piece of homework for this. How can you in your own life apply this principle more broadly to your community and the various organizations that you belong to shake up the status quo a little, change it some, and help reinvigorate it and bring about some progress that you might not have seen before? You might just surprise yourself with what can happen when you start living these ideas. But that'll wrap another episode of the Permaculture Podcast with Scott Mann. If you like this episode or any of the previous ones, please take 2 minutes and do two things for me. Write a review on your favorite podcast site and tell a friend about the show. It'll help get the word out. You can, if you'd like to share your thoughts with your fellow readers, stop by the website, thepermaculturepodcast.com, and leave a comment for this show or any other. Let's get those discussions started. If you have any questions for me, email me, show@thepermaculturepodcast.com, or leave me a voicemail. That number is 717-798-8100. I appreciate everything that you do. And until I talk to you again, take care of the earth, yourself, and each other.